Welcome to the ZA Tech Radio Podcast. I'm VT.
And I'm Stu.
And I'm Sihle. Welcome to a new episode of the podcast. Please like, review, and subscribe.
And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ZA Tech Radio. That is ZA Tech Radio.
Cool, cool. Yo. Welcome to the ZA Tech Radio Podcast. This is episode one. Some of you might know us from ZA Tech Radio, which happens every Thursday at 8:30, the Twitter space. Please go follow our account at ZA Tech Radio. I'm here in studio with Sihle and Stu, the other two parts of ZA Tech Radio, and I'm VT.
Yo.
How's it, guys?
Easy. How are you?
I'm all good, man. All good. Excited we're doing this.
Yeah, should be cool. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about what it means to be a developer in South Africa. I understand that you are self-taught, right?
Yeah.
Contrasting the two might be a good start. You talking about being self-taught and then Stu jumping in about going to get the degree.
The traditional route.
I think being self-taught in South Africa, I think for me, was a lot about proving myself and that I can do it. Historically, even my parents did not believe that I could be a developer, right? So that's actually why I didn't go to school, because I didn't have my parents' buy-in. So I just went the other direction and continued learning. But part of that, and the most important part of it, was doing a lot of stuff. I had to be better than my peers who were doing the same thing probably at school, right? I had to do a lot more than what's average. I was always building something. I still am. There's a relentless pace that I have to keep up with. It's just an internal clock in myself where I feel I might be getting overtaken by someone.
If you could redo it, would you go the, like, just starting computer science route? I mean, that doesn't take away from you being able to build a lot of stuff, right?
Yes.
Do you think there might have been value in going to school to do it?
Absolutely. I think in hindsight, going to school is harder than getting a job. Or just doing it, like just being a rock star and doing it. I think that's there's certain principles that you get and you get to appreciate from doing this at school as a student as well, and not just in training and in practice. So yeah, I think it's valuable being in school. Guys, go to school.
Yeah, look, I think definitely there's multiple school of thought. I don't like the. No one is always anything, or nothing is always anything. So I don't like the, being self-taught is better or going to school is better. I think different strokes for different folks. But Stu, maybe the same kind of question for you. If you knew what you know now, would you have gone to varsity to study what you did?
Definitely. I think what I would be cautioned on is speaking from a place of privilege, just because I got the opportunity to study for what I'm doing now as a career, kind of makes me privileged in that sense, as to say that it's easy for me to say, learn this thing on your own, but there's so many things that I got from school that are helping me now do what I'm doing best, like topics around design patterns, how things being applied in industry are taught. Like, some people are picking it up as we go, and for me, it's just things that are just coming back because I did them in class, and I could never take away that experience, and I would never want to change it for anything else.
Cool. Look, I think there are a lot of people who's just like kind of like a mixed bag of people now in whatever team you find yourself in. So I think it's not foreign now to find yourself in a team with people who went to varsity, for some people went to FETs, some people are self-taught. Have you guys noticed any differences in how these people work? Something that, that stands out or would push you towards a different direction, or might push you to advise someone to take a different path?
So I think as a self-taught dev, right, and working with people who went to school, I personally had to go wide. Right. In understanding a lot of things. Right. And that's where my niche and my special power is, where I know a lot about a lot. Right. But people who went to school go in depth with a specific thing. Right. So I might know GraphQL, I know REST, I know all of this. I know all of these things. Right. And from a technical basis. But a person who went to school fundamentally understands why these things came about, what design patterns are behind them. So, yeah, I do see a difference. But for me, and I think this is the beautiful part of where we are as tech and why it's growing so much, is that these two school of thoughts can actually get into the same room and be able to give to the other. Like one would contribute to that and the other contribute to the other one.
I actually think going deep versus going wide is not a function of having gone to school or not.
Okay.
I think it might be propelled by the trend we've seen lately. Everyone is a full stack developer, right? And that kind of just forces you to know everything, and you feel like you're expected to know everything. Are you guys full stack?
Arguable.
Do you care? Do you call yourself full stack developers? If there was a post saying full stack developer, would you apply for that?
I used to until I struggled with DevOps as I got into work, and I think that's part of full stack, being able to also operate what you just built, making sure that it's still up. So once I got that grasp, I'll then say I'm a proper full stack dev. I do still say that though now, or just say I'm a software engineer to run away from the full stack front end, back end stuff.
So for me, am I a full stack? That's traditionally what I've been. You have an app. This app needs to interface with the cloud. Okay, I need to build that thing. Like, who's going to build that interfacing with the cloud? And I think it's been a natural evolution. Like, before full stack was full stack, I was full stack. So it I don't care about titles. It's why I lean into full stack now, solely because I don't want to be called a senior what, an intermediate, a principal what. So, I don't want to be caught into that matrix, and full stack developer right now is sort of like an all encompassing role and yeah. Speaks to the things I'm interested in.
Look, I think we fall into the trap of trying to define different roles. Like, you know, so many companies have an idea of what a DevOps person is, which is weird because, you know, DevOps is not supposed to be a role or a person, but people hire for DevOps. It's actually a practice of bringing Dev and Ops together in one team and still having an Ops person and a developer in the team, and that becoming DevOps. And I think the same thing is happening with our titles. I think companies are maybe using full stack as an opportunity to make you do more. So instead of hiring three people, they hire one, right? And the same thing that's happening is people now being called software engineers, right? Because it's a bit more attractive, and maybe it makes our local companies better sell their talent overseas as well.
Meanwhile, the engineering council does not have a clue who you are.
I don't think so. One of the books, software engineering book, actually calls us software engineers, but does make a clear difference between other disciplines in engineering, like how software development is different from civil or electrical. Because for us, it's not like putting bricks that will never move or building bridges that will forever be there with the architecture and everything. For us, it's more fluid, it's more agile. So we borrowed so much from other disciplines that it's arguable. It's in like...
But I hear you, right? But in the book Code Complete, Steve McConnell talks about it's important what metaphors you use, right? So if you use the metaphor of writing, right? Writers don't just like start writing a book and that's it, right? There's a lot of throwing away of some of the first drafts. So if you use writing code or writing software, That's a metaphor you're borrowing from, and kind of those practices you can borrow from it. And if you use the building of software, then you're now borrowing from all this other stuff. But it actually isn't so cut and dry, and maybe that influences the way we work in the industry, because our industry still suffers from an identity crisis. We're not really 100% sure whether we're an engineering discipline or whether we are a science discipline. Because obviously those things are guided by different rules.
Hence there's computer science and then there's computer engineering.
By the way, if I went to school, I wouldn't be doing computer science. I'd be doing computer engineering.
Okay.
So you're going to do a lot of embedded systems, yes, and microchips and electrical, yes, and whatnot.
In hindsight, I know I can do the software part.
So. Cool. And so being in South Africa and now, you know, with the lockdown and everything happening with the ZA Tech Radio Twitter space, getting an opportunity to interface with developers or engineers from other countries and other companies. Do you think the being a developer in South Africa is like very different from being a developer anywhere else in the world?
When you're already in, not so much. I think we're leveled there. The talent is, we have like really talented devs locally. But the problem is just getting in. The fact that, I don't know how you did it, Sihle, managing to teach yourself all this with the color of your skin and still get like jobs, proper jobs with pay slips. wild, because for many people that I've spoken with, it's hard getting anything, even with the degree that you hold, even. Just getting in is so hard. But then once you get to a level where you're already in there and then start talking to other people in other countries, you find that it's not so much different from what we have. We're very talented.
And to add to that, I think you ask how I did it. For me, I put myself in that environment voluntarily. I told Misho, yo, I'm going to come to Geek Culture. I'm going to sit at MLab. And I'm going to be part of what this thing that I think I'm so passionate about is. Before anyone even put a cent behind my name, I just showed up, right? And I learned, I grew from there. And that's when I realized that, oh, I can actually lean into my gift, which is teaching, supplemented with this knowledge. And that's what I led with. I didn't start off as just a dev. I started off teaching and introducing people to the technologies that I was widespread and introduced to. And the entire aim was to see the other side of dev, which is like what it looks like when you go wide and what it looks like when you build something and you complete and there are actual people who care about it and who are invested in it, like sponsors and whatnot, versus being at school. And for me, it was an extension of that. And I got to interface and interact, and that's where I got over my imposter syndrome. I was like, ah, we're all idiots mostly.
Yeah, speaking of imposter syndrome, I want to go back to something Stu said about we are pretty talented, right? That feels like a very complete statement. What measurements are we using to kind of like gauge ourselves against, other people in the continent or like the rest of the world?
For me, it's hearing someone say something and being able to say, that's wrong, regardless of where they're from. Just to say, that's wrong, confidently, without even thinking about any other thing. You might be from the States, India, UK. If it's off, if it's not what I know, it's that and the fact that we still have exports, people coming from South Africa going to other countries and pulling up, representing.
Cool. I think for me, the other side of it is people from outside looking in and wanting to get talent from here, like
Twitter and being in, is it Ghana?
Yes, Nigeria.
Yeah. But actually, quite bigger than that, also, it's just interfacing with someone who's in Australia or New Zealand who's saying, yo, I actually want to build something that you might have built and you were speaking about on your Twitter.
Okay.
And that's when I realized that, oh, actually, I'm talented even in Australia.
Yep. No, that's a crazy one. I think for me, there's been some experience, like in the last couple of years, I've worked with, people from Germany, from the UK, from, other parts of the world, Netherlands and all of that. And I picked up something that they have that we don't hear, right? And it's those developers. something else that they don't. That,
good internet.
You know? So. They have this strict moral principle around the time they work, right? So I worked with people who, if they had to work an hour of extra time, of overtime, they'd like take Friday off or something like that. People they kind of protect their time so much, and I don't think that's something we have in South Africa. We work. It's 16 hours or whatever. We kind of just have the. Just do it attitude. And I wonder if it comes from a culture of just being grateful to be in the space. Is that how it is? Are you guys feeling like you're so fortunate and you have to do anything to protect the space that you're in?
Yeah, I personally still feel like that. I personally still feel like, yo, I'm a self-taught. These people are actually taking a chance. Like, I'm not proven. And I think that's been the big drive to get certified and to say, oh, I'm actually an authority in this and can speak about this. But yeah, it's it's being grateful for the opportunity. But I'm getting to a place where I'm like, they don't pay me for overtime. I'm going to take Friday off. Like, those thoughts are the exact same thoughts I'm starting to have now. And I think they come with time and come with age in the development industry. We're still young.
And it scares me sometimes when things from all over the world create this ripple effect, which eventually will affect us. But one good thing that might be coming, it's the four-day weeks. Is it four business days where...
Yeah, four-day work week, yeah.
Yeah, that one, that'll be great when it comes, because I think it's some of those things that we grab from other countries that sometimes affects us also, and it shouldn't be like that. We're almost big enough to have our own exports now.
But we're so behind in many other parts. Like what makes you so sure we'll adopt the 4-day work week? So for example, right, salaries, right, which is almost a taboo conversation to have in any South African corporate. Your teammate, your colleague can't know how much you earn. You can't know how much they earn, and a lot of people like rationalize that. But when you start to look at companies abroad, they have practices like advertising a range. So if you're going to come in a consultancy as an associate, this is your range. When you become like a principal, this is your range, the type of thing. So that's one. The second thing is I've seen a lot of companies in Europe start to adopt the whole paying you like to kind of like test you out. So you don't really work for them yet, but you get to work with the team for about a week to show what your process looks like. And then from there, they make a decision on whether they're going to hire you or not. We haven't adopted that in South Africa. And, maybe two-part question. Number one is like, what makes you so sure we'll adopt the four-day work week? And number two, do you think adopting those kind of principles in South Africa might change the landscape? Would it be positive?
I think private sector is going to lead that adoption. For instance, with the whole COVID thing and working from home, where I work, we started working from home at least 2 weeks before it was nationally announced. So it's just private companies taking it up on their own. And it's, I think, for me, I'm definitely going to be lucky, because I'm sure we're going to do that once it comes, once we see the worth in it. But besides that, nationally, I doubt.
So here's the other side of this conversation, right? We have talent that is now working for companies that are, for example, incorporated in other countries, right? So instead of just looking at how do we adopt this for South African companies, it becomes South African developers start interfacing with companies that do this.
Okay.
And companies locally start feeling the pressure. And you, like, when you come with an offer, I tell you, yeah, I work 4 days a week and I still earn $150,000 a year. Can you do that?
Wow.
And no, that's not me. Oh. That's not me. That's when we work 4 days work weeks. Now we're still working hard. But that's sort of like, I guess, the idea. And it's not new. Google has it. You work 4 days and the last day you work on a project that you're passionate about. It goes back to declaring what you're working on and just focusing on that. And these are things that I think I would love for South Africa to start developing. But being a developer in South Africa, being especially particularly being black is something that's hard. You find yourself having to constantly prove yourself. And ultimately, you find yourself working with people who've been coding since they were six. and how do you, as a person that just discovered the computer in first year and you just learned to switch it on, a lot of people go through that. And how do you then bridge that gap, right? And ultimately, in industry as well, we have legacy that exists. So you have companies still using something from 1990. And you have companies right now, startups, who are using the most innovative things. So in between, as an industry, we're still trying to figure it out, I guess, what price it is for certain things. Is it being innovative that you get? So it becomes a polarizing conversation. But adopting certain things and culture doesn't have to just be left to South Africans and South African companies. As we bridge the gap internationally, we start being able to, actually, by virtue of you working with someone from the UK, you saw that, man, something is not hitting the water here. Something is hitting the water, and you take it from there.
Cool.
I feel like we're also lucky with tech as a career that we get to do all these things that all the other industries don't get to. Like, for instance, just getting a job in another country and still living wherever you want to live. I doubt there's so much about that going on with like accountants or other disciplines. Maybe you have to be a scholar and go to that country and whatnot with your research. But for us, it's widely accessible, I feel like. Like, I'm seeing more people accept job offers from companies I don't even know that are, like, in other countries. Probably some that don't even have any clients in South Africa, even.
So I think in some, being a developer in South Africa is full of opportunity. I think we're bridging the gap between where we are now as a people, to where we imagine the beacon is, right? And there's a lot of opportunity in between. But also, where there's green grass, there's also a lot of like bullshit in between. So those are things that you will ultimately face. And come to radio, we'll talk about it during therapy.
Cool. And in closing off, I think you mentioned something very important, right? There's a lot of opportunity, but I've seen that there's a problem that I don't know how to fix, but every day I wish I could. We have a lot of people starting off in South Africa wanting to get into tech, whether that's being a developer, whether it's in UX, whether it's in business analysis or testing. It seems like we have a lot of people at the door and we're not letting a lot of people in because there's job ads every day, but everyone's looking for intermediate to senior. Like, how have you guys experienced that in the spaces that you find yourselves in? Like, you know, is South Africa actually a place that trains up people who come from not knowing anything to actually being able to contribute in those companies?
So train up, not necessarily, but give you the opportunity to showcase yourself. Absolutely. Right. You have to show up for yourself. I think that's what South Africa proves. You have to work hard. Like, you have to prove that you are about it. And then you start getting the opportunity that you're looking for to be able to, I guess, show up and be the rock star that you are. So that's how I feel, at least. You must first do the work yourself, invest in yourself, build products, build things yourself. And then ultimately, that's when you start getting noticed and you get your opportunity from there.
Yeah. If there's no foot at the door, kick the door down.
Yeah, call yourself a founder and a CTO. But we'll speak about the dangers of that as well as an idea on a future topic. But I think, yeah, for that reason, I think there's opportunity, but a lot of people are expecting it to just be easy. It won't be. There's a lot of graduate internships, and that's where we'll point you. But if you're working absolutely hard and you prove yourself, opportunity is there, even on the timeline. So it's cool. About taking it.
Cool. Thanks for doing this, guys. And for anyone listening, thanks for listening. Please remember, church is on Thursday. Cheers.